2, 3.
Welcome to the 14th inning stretch.
I don't know about this one. I really don't.
That is a terrible, joke.
That'll be so much fun. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I did it. Sorry.
Cheer yourself up with a taco.
We're gonna have a little fun here.
Do you know how many people in this country don't care?
I'm selling your story and I'm selling your airtime. This is weird. This is wild. This is whack.
14th inning stretch. You don't see that too often.
Hello and welcome to another belated episode of the 14th inning stretch. My name is Joe DiRienzo alongside Ryan Ballack and Greg Brzezowski. Guys, we are without our resident Bostonian, but it's good to be back.
God bless, we're without the resident Bostonian. So I'll hear him slobber all over Brad Stevens. Good night.
Hey, it has been like 3 months since I've been on a pod almost here, it feels like. So it's good to be back because I missed the last one, and I'm just excited. We're getting back in the swing of things, and let's pick it right back up.
Yeah, we went into a little hiatus slash hibernation kind of deal, but we're back. We're ready to go, and we're going to start things with what we do best, the weird, wild, and wacky from the World Wide Web. Ryan, take it away.
All right, well, I sent you guys this link actually over the weekend of – new closer for the St. Louis Cardinals, Jordan Hicks, who basically has been defying reality with this 105-mile-per-hour nonsense that he throws off the mound. He also throws a 104-mile-per-hour sinker. I mean, what is that?
You know, off-speed stuff.
You look at the GIFs. Also, do you guys say GIF or JIF? I don't know how to establish that.
JIF is a peanut butter. It's J-I-F, you know?
But apparently the guy who created – whatever the word is, it says it's GIF, but I can't call it GIF. It's GIF.
Clearly, he was raised in a Skippy household, and while I have no issue with your choice of peanut butter, you chose wrong.
I always said GIF, and then I heard that the guy that created it said GIF, and I was like, well, I guess I have to change my entire life around this. So I say GIF now.
Damn. Wait, so before you... All right, so you're a GIF person.
Naturally said GIF, or GIF, and I've trained myself to say otherwise.
All right, more important matter... Greg, did you say you like Jif over Skippy?
No, I like Skippy over Jif.
Okay, but that was a good thing to clear up.
I was about to jump through the computer screen and smack you across the face.
I mean, look, both are good.
With a jar of delicious Skippy creamy peanut butter.
Both are good, but I just finished off a jar of Skippy making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for lunch earlier today.
I had one for lunch, too.
Nothing better than peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Sorry, I like to get off track. All right, back to where we were going. All right, so this Jordan Hicks is out of control. And I don't know if – I mean, he's probably the second coming of Rolls Chapman. This is pretty crazy, though, what we're seeing down in St. Louis. So Slate Magazine, who doesn't really associate much with sports, is more – writes just about pop culture and politics and all that kind of stuff. They wrote an article saying Cardinals Jordan Hicks throws 105-mile-per-hour baseball. Fans say, quote, yowza, that's some spicy salami.
Quote?
Quote. That's what they say baseball fans are saying to this guy, like, and all this nonsense. Like, that's your reaction is, wow, that's some spicy salami. Like, what the hell is that, first off? And so, and we all can agree that's a ridiculous expression.
Yes.
Okay. So the Palm Beach Cardinals, who is a minor league affiliate to the St. Louis Cardinals, obviously, they tweeted today. They tweeted yesterday after seeing this article from Slate. This Friday, we'll be hosting Yowza, that's some spicy salami day at Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. All fans that say the phrase will immediately be removed from the ballpark.
That's so amazing.
Props to you, Palm Beach Cardinals. That's great. These social media people, these social media accounts are really creative these days. They really have been.
You know what happened? People let the world not be super PC and filter everything and let professional official accounts be like people.
Professional young kids.
Right. Like they're 20 somethings running these accounts and they're allowed to actually be funny instead of being all buttoned up and being like, here's the recap from tonight's game link. And that's it.
Who did it start with in the playoffs a few years ago? I forget.
LA Kings.
Yes. Yes. And I remember
one of the first.
It's funny. I remember the Sacramento Kings in a different sport, but same mascot had the dog. I think they had a corgi be their social media correspondent for a day. They always do fun stuff like that. So, yes, I thought that was great. So, good to you for the Palm Beach Cardinals and bad Slate. Yowza, that's some spicy salami. Get that question out of here.
That's the John Mulaney joke where Elin Nordegan is talking about Tiger Woods and like the New York Post being like, Tiger comes back to say he's sorry. Elin says, beat it, bozo. He did not most certainly say beat it, bozo. She is from another country. And it's great. John Mulaney's awesome.
Tiger's back. We've been off the air. Tiger is back. How about that?
Yeah, buddy. Yeah.
I mean, like, I kind of expected him to win something by now, but
I mean, he came in second at what, the Honda?
You can't be too.
Came in second at Valspar.
You have to have realistic expectations about it, obviously. So we.
But it is. I was gonna joke when we came on the air. I was like, hey guys, how about that NCAA March Madness and the Masters and Tiger Woods? Start of MLB baseball season,
the NFL WrestleMania, draft.
And we like NFL draft.
I got a quarterback.
You did. Yeah. I got a running back.
Nah, eh, whatever. I guess about a running back. Yeah. Things have been happening. It's an exciting time.
I got a coach.
Yeah, yes.
Very happy about.
Yes,
and that helps.
All right, Greg, what you got for us?
Patriots twice. Go ahead, Greg.
Nonsense from the internet.
This is an event that we're probably not going to talk about much here on the show.
Don't say NASCAR.
We're not represented in it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying about the World Cup.
Which is next month. Have you guys seen any commercials for the World Cup?
Yeah,
I've only seen one, and it was amazing, and it wasn't for the World Cup. It was from a vodka company.
Oh, yeah, the SVP support
team. The Reka. Yep, I bought a shirt.
Wow, good for you.
It's a shirt that says, Go USA, with a fake piece of tape over USA, and it just says Iceland on the piece of fake tape, because they're an Icelandic vodka brand.
That's awesome.
Yo, you got to do something for it. Yeah, like the hype's going to be low. We're not in it. I'm not a soccer expert by any means. All the guys who were good when I played FIFA in college are now in the MLS. So,
yeah, like, thank you. I was going to say they're all in the MLS. Yeah.
So I know nothing about the sport anymore right now. But I do know that the Argentine Football Association has officially effed up. They have sent out a guide that has taken a lot of slack for journalists heading over to Russia, giving them like advice, be like, hey, you know what? Here's how you can find success in covering our team as we go to Russia for the World Cup. And in there is a chapter titled How to Stand a Chance with a Russian Girl.
Oh boy.
I'm reading now from an UK article about it all. Oh, the advice in the handbook given out to reporters, players, and coaches during a free course about the Russian culture includes, make sure you're clean, smell good, and dress well. Russian women, quote, don't like to be seen as objects, the guide says.
Oh, my
adding,
God.
Because Russian women are beautiful, many men only want to sleep with them. The advice is to treat women in front of you as if she is someone of value.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Yeah.
I wish I had a punchline for this.
Wait, so who was sent this?
This was Argentine players, coaches, media members, and anyone who's taking a course on navigate Russia for the World Cup. I mean,
interesting.
Such a bad look.
It is terrible. Yeah. And then the football
had to get approved by like a bunch of people, I'm sure.
In a statement on Wednesday, the AFA then insisted that the material was included accidentally and does not represent the view of the Federation. Yo, you got caught. Like, just admit that you messed up and you're really awful people because, dude, like, just – very embarrassing. I'm kind of surprised this didn't get more.
Yeah, I'm shocked it didn't get more publicity.
Yeah, I've only heard about this once on like a local radio station here in Colombia talked about it. And I was just like, what? Like, this is kind of like along the same lines of that really awful Washington Redskins cheerleader story.
Oh, that was awful.
Yeah, that was really, really bad. Bad.
And that didn't get a ton of publicity either.
No, I thought it got its run for like the 2 or 3 days, but that's it.
But I thought they was going to get Dan Snyder out of there, which,
yeah,
I mean, that's going to take a
that's move. What
it's like moving mountain. So,
The Caps eliminated yet, or are they still trying to drag their fans' hearts on by the string?
They play tonight. I can't believe yeah. that
we'll get.
I don't know.
We'll get to that.
I watched
plenty of time.
Yeah, I watched a game with some depressed Caps fans over the weekend. I watched Game 5, and they just got smoked. And it was just like they scored like 3 goals in the first period the Lightning did. And it's just like, oh, man, this is really going to happen again.
Somehow they're still alive.
So they're still alive. I don't know if they're going to make it happen. But And we're making it interesting. All right, Joe.
Perfect segue. In a world where a prehistoric shark lives on today.
Mm-hmm. Yes! I love where this is going.
There is a new movie coming out called The Meg, which is short for Megalodon, that giant prehistoric shark that comes up every week in Shark Week. So a guy named Steve Alton wrote a 7-book series about this shark, the Megalodon. It's now being turned into a movie starring Jason Statham, naturally, and Dwight Schrute, also known as Rainn Wilson.
What?
He's like the co-star of the movie.
That's awesome.
So Alton was a huge baseball fan growing up. He's from Philly. He's a Phillies fan. So he wanted to include something in the detail of his book to pay homage to his fandom. So in the second book of the series, The Meg, Primal Waters, which is set in 2019, he wrote these in 2003, by the way. There's a quote that brings it back to our attention. And it's from the perspective of an announcer at McCovey Cove or at the ballpark in San Francisco. Now with Philadelphia Philly slugger Pat Burrell closing in on Bonds' record, the San Franciscans are arriving in droves, some to cheer, most to boo, and all wanting to be a part of baseball history. This guy wrote it in 2003 and just decided to include the tidbit that, by the way, in 2019, Pat Burrell is going to be on the cusp of breaking the home run record.
Hold on. I need to look at Pat Burrell's stats immediately right now.
Well, you did that.
How old is Pat Burrell?
Old. He would not be playing right now.
How old do you guys think? I'm curious. How old do you guys think he is? Let's take a guess.
Before I check this now, I'm going to say he's 41.
I was going to say 41.
Are you kidding me? I'm going to say 55.
But regardless.
Oh, 41. October 41.
10, you nailed it.
1976.
How was he only 41?
Pretty amazing that he's only 41.
I thought he played when he was 41.
I love that, but it gets better. Because the actual scene itself, he writes that Burrell hits the home run, obviously, because it's a book, and the ball goes into McCovey Cove, and while the little rafters are going to get the ball, the shark jumps out of the water and eats all of them, because he's a giant shark, and it's a shark book. But by the time the book was actually published in paperback, Pat Burrell was no longer in the book, because the Phillies had a better, younger power hitter that he wanted to include. So Ryan Howard became the home run champion.
Ryan Howard was actually considered he was at least a home run champion.
Right, he at least hit a bunch of home runs.
Pat Burrell was just an annoying
one here, I want to say right off the top of my head.
No, Ryan Howard hit 60.
No, he did not.
Yeah, oh yeah, because I remember people saying I'm pretty sure he hit 61 because I remember people saying that he could have been the legit home run king if he was one of the guys who was clean and did it. I might be wrong about that, but we can.
Did he ever test dirty?
I don't think so. Oh,
I hated
those Phillies teams. I'm sure Joe is this way.
Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Jimmy Rollins, nightmare fuel.
Shane Victorino.
Shane Victorino. He had 58, not 60. But still,
yeah, there we go. Onwards. Oh, again, Rams sports facts.
My trivia's lacking today.
You said this was written in 2003, Joe?
Yes, the series was started in 2003.
So Burrell was in his fourth season at that point. He had hit 18 homers, 27, 37, and then 21 in 2003.
So I'm sure he thought of it in that 37 homer season and was like, yes, we're going to do this.
I'm actually more impressed that this guy wrote this before Sharknado came out. How about that?
That's pretty good.
He was ahead of the game.
The shark hype caught on.
All right,
Burrell finished his career with the Giants too.
All right, well, from sharks to Shaq. God, you thought I was out of being transitioned to Transition King. I'm still here, folks. So we've been given all sorts of gems from NBA on TNT throughout the years, throughout, you know, just this postseason.
They're the best.
Just, like, their Instagram feed is just incredible. So last night, Shaq was telling a story about how he did not listen to his coach, Phil Jackson, when a certain somebody – was in the stands. Let's take a listen.
So listen, true story. Lakers, Madison Square Garden.
See, there it is. There it is.
No, true story. Halle Berry's in the arena. Phil come back to the tunnel, draw up some plans, said, no. We're not running that. Turn five. Get it to me.
That's what I'm talking about.
Get it to me right now. Halle's in. He's like, no, I said, Phil, no, Phil, we're not running that. Turn five. And everybody move out the way. I'm about to throw it down on you in front of Halle Berry.
So... So I guess they were playing the Knicks. The Lakers were playing the Knicks, and the Knicks probably weren't very good because the Knicks were
No, you don't say. Shaq almost shoved Chris Dudley into another time zone after dunking on him.
Could you imagine Shaq just being like, no, we're over on that play. Give me the ball. I'm going to throw it down. And just like giving fingers to Halle Berry. Just like, what's up, girl? It's great.
That's amazing.
That's absolutely awesome. Also, like, seriously, I love that show more than anything on earth. It's the best show on television. I've been saying that since 2010 when I was like watching it back at college. And just like, wait, this is the most amazing broadcasting ever. And
I think the most amazing thing about it is that they're so successful because Shaq and Charles, you know, always butt heads, but you can never understand what Shaq is saying. He's just mumble city, but still manages to create this incredible content week in and week out. So day in, day out, excuse me. Not
yeah.
So, I love it.
As much as I love Inside the NBA and it being the best show on television, I'm going to take it to the world outside of sports here. But I also feel it's enough sports because I'm just going to throw in a Roll Tide before we even begin. Read this headline to you. Woman jailed for setting motel fire with burning package of ham, cops say. A North Alabama woman is jailed on a felony arson charge for setting fire to a package of ham and tossing it into the garbage can at an Athens motel, police say. Beverly Harrison, 62, was accused of setting the fire that caused an explosion at the Bomar Inn last month, according to Athens police. Investigators learned family had brought Harrison a package of ham to eat, and she didn't want the ham, Police Chief Floyd Jeff Johnson said today. After the family left, she set the ham on fire and put it in a garbage can. When smoke started filling Harrison's room, she grabbed her dog and left. At no time did she alert anyone to the fire. The fire also caused a can of butane fuel to explode. Harrison, who is living in the motel, is now held in Limestone County Jail. If convicted, she could face life in prison.
Damn.
Does that look like someone who would set fire to a thing of ham?
Oh, my God. That's smoked ham, if I've ever heard it, huh?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Did it.
Oh, man, that's crazy. I also saw in a non-sports, since we're on non-sports stories, I saw it was some guy, I think it was in England, but at Tim Hortons or something like that. He threw poop at the person working. Did you see that?
I saw that on Days of Romero. I didn't watch it.
There's actual video of a woman getting in an argument with the person who works at this Tim Hortons coffee shop, and she pulls her pants down, takes a poop, takes a piece of napkin, and throws it at the person, and just walks out. Incredible. Well,
that's insane.
People are absolutely crazy.
That's how you deal with your problems.
The internet just exposes the world.
Yeah, that's the thing. The crazy's always been there, but now we have access to the crazy.
Oh, we have access. All right.
The crazy brings stuff like that, and it also brings us great stories like what Trevor Bauer did to his arbitration this year. Obviously, it's been a while since arbitration, but I've been saving this story for our show because it's the weird, wild, and wacky. So in MLB, baby. Arbitration is a joke. It's a system that doesn't really work totally for everyone, and every year that the collective bargaining is up, they try to fix it. But despite the fact that Bauer tried to make a mockery of the system, they did make him settle on a regular number because the original number that he wanted his salary to be was $6,420,969.69.
Nice.
Yeah. Ha ha. 420 for weed, 69 twice in the number.
Oh, I didn't even see the 420 part.
Yeah. So they made him take both out and it was like $6,500K was the number he ended up with. But instead of just accepting it, Bauer started the 69 days of giving, in which he gave away $420.69 every day for the next 68 days to a different charity each day. And on the 69th day, he gave $69,420.69 to an undisclosed charity. Because because Trevor Bauer. So it's weird, wild, and wacky, and really nice to charity.
That's kind of nice.
That's a long way to go for a joke about, 69.
Yeah. But
credit to him for putting it towards something good.
What a happy ending.
Yeah.
It's also a big-time baseball bro kind of move, like to be like, look at this.
I have a bonus stretch story since you just brought up, it'll be really quick, since you just brought up, 69, and who else is associated with that than Rob Gronkowski. And so apparently there is a horse that was named in the Belmont, the Gronkowski.
It's his horse, right?
Yes. No, I don't. Well, it might be his horse. I don't think it. No, it's called the Gronkowski. It's not his horse. And the Belmont is on June 9th, 6/9, and the odds for the Gronk horse are 69-1.
Not even real. That's amazing.
So that is happening. just a quick story about the Gronkowski. I would bet $69 that Jake will bet on that horse.
Yep, to at least show. I mean, you have to.
Hey, sports gambling going to be legal? And I guess you could do anything for the horse races.
There's no rules for horse racing.
Yeah, we're going to need
the internet
to sum up his gambling thoughts on it being like legalized now too.
Yeah, which means we have to have another show, episode 9, before 6/9.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Segueing out of the weird, wild, and wacky into our first real sports segment in a while, and naturally we have to talk NBA playoffs because it has been absurd. We're in the conference finals at this point. Warriors Rockets tied at 2. Cavs Celtics also tied at 2. Both series kind of seemed they were going one way at the beginning and have flipped back to normal. So where do you guys want to start?
So it's weird. Like, I mean, I feel like everybody's been bashing the NBA playoffs because it's just been really not competitive and a foregone conclusion that, you know, the Warriors are going to play the Cavs in the finals. But somehow we're now at 2-2, which makes things interesting. And we're just getting down to a best three series. I don't understand. I mean, I texted you guys this the other day. The Cavs and Celtics series is mind-boggling to me. I think the Warriors are going to be fine. I think Andre Iguodala was actually, you know, kind of needed him the other day. I don't know what the hell happened. I mean, they scored 12 points in the fourth quarter. That was bizarre. Yeah. That's not going to happen again. I mean, there's just no way. But do you guys think the Cavs or the Celtics are going to win the series? I truly do not know. Like, the Celtics looked really good, and I don't want to give Jake all his credit because he loves Brad Stevens, and I guess Brad Stevens has done a really, really good job. But, I mean, the last two nights, they look like a disaster. So I don't really know where to go from there. I probably would have to lean towards betting with LeBron just because he's LeBron and he's playing against a bunch of 20-year-olds that are the best players on the team, and Al Horford, and I still think Al Horford is terrible. So I would probably lean towards the Cavs in that series. What do you guys think?
You know, you said it kind of there. The thing is, Boston's clearly been a different team at home. Undefeated at TD Garden this postseason. They win 3 games against Milwaukee there. They win 3 against the Sixers. And now they've won the first 2 against the Cavs, but on the road, they've only had 1 playoff victory. And it was a game that Philly gifted them. Game 3 of that semifinals. I was watching at the end, and the Sixers poor passing and, Ben Simmons not being aware of the shot clock where he could have just ran it out and, been able to hold for one possession and try to win it there. Like, just, that team wasn't ready. It was the same situation of maybe they were the most talented team right now in the Eastern Conference. Just the Celtics are better coached right now. Let me ask you guys this. The Brad Stevens over any player in the league thing, that's ridiculous. I mean, like, just
– yeah, the talent has to be there for the coach to be able to do anything.
Exactly. And, look, Brad Stevens, there has not been a Celtic that has left under his watch that's then had more success – without playing for his system at this point in time. Like, you just look at Avery Bradley, look at Amir Johnson.
Isaiah Thomas.
Isaiah Thomas is obviously the glaring one of it all. Like, I don't think Rondo was there for the start of it. Maybe he was, but, like, you know, Rondo's never going to be what he once was in the Ubuntu era.
Well, he just plays when he wants. You know, he's clearly just carried. Yeah. Like, if he played the way he did in the playoffs, you know, season round, then nobody – and he didn't, you know, whine and get in fights with everybody on his team. Like, he would be, you know, top
three
guard in the NBA.
It's but you mentioned it there, Balik. I think I was almost leaning towards the Celtics if you were to take it in a vacuum and just think, what would a natural series be like with that home history? They have 2 more home games to 1 more road game. You need to win 2 more games. But it's so impossible to pick against LeBron at this moment in time. Like, at least in the way that he is playing, I think it's almost becoming very easy to take this for granted. Incredible excellence at this point in time. He's had 40 points 6 times in this playoff so far.
Speaking of taking things for granted, we have become numb to the LeBron playoff 40-point game. I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, it's expected now because he has nothing around him.
It's amazing. I mean, he does it so casually.
It just happens all the time.
It's It's unbelievable. I mean, we didn't get to watch this. I mean, we watched Jordan when we were kids, but I mean, what he's doing is amazing. And I used to be a LeBron hater because, you know, he didn't make all the clutch shots, and then he kind of took the cheap route like what Kevin Durant did. But I mean, he's amazing. He's unbelievable.
At this point in his career, it is hard to hate because he's so talented, and what he's doing is
he's got to appreciate
still succeeding. And you're appreciating it even at his age and even with the lack of ability around him. Because
look at that team. I mean, they're terrible.
Well, like, look, Kevin Love is still a great player.
But he's not. He's not a great player.
People are trying to say Kyle Korver's the second best player on the team. Kevin Love's the second best player on the team.
Definitely. Like, but Kevin Love's not, like, amazing. And in today's NBA, he's kind of slow. I mean, he makes those great passes and he's got a good three-point mm-hmm. shot. But, like, I don't know. He's not, you know, it helps to have really athletic wings and guards, and they have none of those. Well, I mean, J.R. Smith was a disaster toward the end of his Knicks career, and he's still somehow in the NBA. I don't understand.
This really stems back to, if you want to break it down years in advance, Cleveland's inability to draft before LeBron got there. Look, they got real lucky. They got that number one pick in that Wiggins draft, and that's the only reason he's there, if you really want to break it down.
Yeah.
Because it gave him the best chance to win. But before that, you take Anthony Bennett, who's currently playing for the Maine Red Claws right now with the number one pick. I mean, it's just like, look, that was a bad draft. Like, but you should have gone Oladipo at two.
Even Oladipo didn't. You know, that looked like a bad pick in the beginning.
I liked Oladipo. Like, look, the draft's always going to be remembered as Giannis and what happens when a potential guy exceeds his full potential, his wildest dreams potential. But you take Bennett that year. The year before that, you take Deion Waiters, who now, you know, injuries this year. He's having a moment in Miami, but not someone you can build with. Then you take Tristan Thompson with the fourth pick, the same year that you take Kyrie with number one. And Tristan has played well and given them energy off the bench, which is what this Cavs team needs. They need energy, and it's why I'm surprised Larry Nance Jr. didn't play more up until this Boston series. But even the moves at the deadline now, like – that Boston Celtics game on Sunday after the trade deadline where they went into, you know, Massachusetts and absolutely housed them. None of those guys are playing him, or you can't play Clarkson because they don't trust him. Rodney Hood has totally worked his way out of the rotation, which surprised me. I like Rodney Hood. Maybe the guys that they got.
He was great last year. I don't know what happened.
It's very weird. Utah got better, and I had them on this podcast as a loser at the deadline for that move, and it ended up being a great thing because Donovan Mitchell, in my opinion, is the rookie of the year. But
they could have – imagine if they had, like, Ronnie Hood. Like, Ronnie Hood was really good last year. He was averaging, like, 20 a game, and he just was bad.
It's very, very odd. I don't know. Game 5, we're taping this on a Wednesday. Game 5 of the series is tonight, and we don't need to put any extra importance on this. This is huge. You have to imagine either a Celtics team's going to be able to try and win, you know, one more at home with if they get a W, or they're going to know they have to go back to the queue where they've already lost two. And kind of look bad in those two. Like, their defense in game 4 was uncharacteristic, to say the least. I'm very confused as to what happened in that. I don't know what to try and pick this as. Tonight's as true a toss-up as I think you can get in sports. If I'm leaning somewhere, I'm leaning towards LeBron James, who's now arguably, in my opinion, he's now the second best basketball player of all time. And I'm not going to say anything about him and Jordan until the career is done. But
I mean, it's, you know, you're never, that's the impossible sports debate. What about in the other series? Do we have any doubts with the Warriors? Like, I mean, the Rockets are good. They're really good. I mean, you know, the best offensive team in history, like statistically, they're the best offensive rating in NBA history. And it's, you know, it's weird. I was listening to the Leverage Dirt Show today, and they talked about the scores. Like, these playoff scores that we're seeing are so bizarre. Like, remember when, you know, like 5 years ago, like, we're so used to these 90s, 80s, like 90-point, 80-point
scores. Like the drag-out games.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And now we're seeing blowouts, like blowout after blowout, where one team's putting up like 120 at least. So it's
crazy.
It's weird. Like, it's like one team decides to play great defense one game, and then the other team just decides to take a rest.
Well, the issue in that is – encapsulated by what Steph Curry said post-game last night, as I find the quote here, just the way that the Warriors have approached the season has been kind of disheartening. Only 58 wins, when you could argue they should probably have 10 more at least on their record with how good they are.
And they're not really like sitting people like the Spurs are.
No, they're not by any means.
They're like sitting all their stars at once and just letting the other guys go.
Yeah, out it's a little different.
Curry said last night, quote, "We have to understand this is now a real playoff type experience." Literally, this team has played 96 games and is now like, yo, we should try.
Yeah.
Yeah. They got so used to coasting that they're finally hitting that team that they need to dig in on, and they're having trouble turning the switch.
And that's even in this series.
And that's really the only reason I thought the Rockets had a chance, to be honest, because the Rockets still have that drive and that hunger. I mean, you know, Chris Paul, this is his first conference finals, and James Harden hasn't been here since, you know, he was with the Thunder. So these guys are, you know, they got to be really hungry. And I can imagine everybody hates the Warriors. I mean, if fans hate the Warriors, can you imagine how much people in the NBA hate the Warriors?
Well, and Daryl Morey has gone on, he said in Russillo's show back in December, yeah, I've been building the team trying to beat the Warriors. Like, I don't feel embarrassed saying that because it's true.
While we're, since we're weird, wild, and wacky, did you guys know that Daryl Morey has a musical?
What now?
Yeah, exactly. So he has written a Broadway show and a musical that is running in Houston currently that is about people that are 4 to 6 inches tall playing basketball against giants. And it is barely sold out for like 2 months. And it sounds like the most bizarre thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But that is a thing that is happening.
Daryl Morey.
That could have made the first segment of the show. But
that could have been the whole first segment of our
show. The lead, Alec.
He did an interview on Seth Levitard's show. And I was just like, and he read a passage from there. And I was like, what?
We might need to do a table read of that for an entire episode.
Yeah, that's a great idea right there. We need to.
Wow.
Take what he said and kind of life for our listeners.
Yeah, so that's a little bizarre.
He's kind of weird guy. He followed me on Twitter, I think, by accident for like a couple months when I was in college. Yeah, so did Woj back before Woj was Woj.
What?
When he worked for the Portland Record. Yeah.
Neglect to mention this to any of us.
Because I didn't really – dude, I did not capitalize on it. Woj used to just go on Joe and Evan's show on WFAN in like the middays. Back in like 2009, 2010, and I sent him a tweet back about like the Seton Hall head coach, and he followed me.
Sources.
Like, cool. And then like, I got to follow like 9 months later. I was like, ah, crap. He probably realized that he'd done that. And I think the same happened because Daryl Morey went to a Macklemore show, and I was like, yeah, Daryl Morey, like Dork Elvis likes Macklemore. Because I like Macklemore. No hate here. But anyway. And then like, I was like, oh, that's weird. That was senior year. And then
you liked Macklemore before it was cool. Like Macklemore.
Yeah, you loved Macklemore before he was cool.
Rich Ryan put me onto the shout out, friend of the show, Rich Ryan.
I remember that.
His when he made his who's the My Oh My Seattle Mariner broadcaster? He made the tribute video to him. We're getting way off track. I apologize.
Yeah. Welcome back to the NBA segment. The of
NBA
stretch. Yeah, let's move on. Sidebars.
We're all Cavs. Right? We're all Cavs Warriors. It sounds
okay.
Like.
So wait, we're all Cavs Warriors. Is that the consensus? Well,
I don't know. See, I keep trying to figure out what's going to happen in this Western Conference Finals. It is cool to see that there is a series. But look, I told you guys last night, I punted on game four because the Rockets, who have acknowledged, oh, we're the team built to beat the Warriors. Stu Gotch said this on the show, and it kind of messed with my head. It was like, just lost by 41 points to said Warriors. I'm like, you know what? I want to see this Avengers movie. I've gone like a month without it. And I end up coming out of it, and it's like a 3-point game, and I'm like, crap, I missed the one good game that we've gotten in the conference finals so far.
Last night made you question yourself because, I mean, the Warriors were up 12-0. I texted you guys, like, what the hell? Like, and the Rockets, you know, they took a bunch of punches to the face, and they kept fighting back. I mean, James Harden, it's, you know, got made fun of relentlessly in the first quarter for passing up this, like, way wide open.
The wide open three, yeah.
And then he just slammed it down on Draymond Green, which doesn't happen very often. Good. So yes, thank you. Shout out Worldwide Wob.
Shout out Wob.
Yes. So I don't know. They're gritty. You know, Harden and Paul are they're playing with a chip on their shoulder for sure, and it looks like the Warriors are cruising, which you would think normally, once again, I would lean towards the other team, but because of who the Warriors are, it's like the exact same thing with the Celtics. I don't know, but I'm gonna go Warriors Cavs.
Okay, they will so
with their enthusiasm, who wins the series? Yeah, it's gun to your head. You pick the Warriors.
Okay, so we're consensus on Warriors, but I'm going to go Celtics because I can't pick I can't pick this Cleveland team to win. And I know I'm not the NBA guy, which is why I'm more comfortable picking against LeBron. But these guys on the Cavs are NBA players who can compete separately at the right times to maybe claw together some wins. I just believe in the completeness of the six guys the Celtics rely on that actually can each score double digits every game. And I think that there's a better chance that they can pull out two of the next three.
Can I also say I think Celtics-Warriors is a better series than Celtics?
I think that would be a great series.
Yeah, that I do not think. I think it'll be a better series, but I think either team is going to get smacked by whoever.
No, it doesn't matter. Whoever's winning the West wins the title.
Yeah. By a lot.
Yeah, Russillo summed this up on his most recent podcast where he talked about that 06 AFC championship game between the Colts and the Patriots where they were going to face the Bears.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just like, whoever wins this game's got a ring. So yeah. That's why it's so important for Peyton to win. Or maybe 05. I can't remember the exact year of that. Look, whoever's winning the West wins this thing. But the Celtics have played the Warriors tough all year. In the 16-game win streak in the beginning of the year, they held the Warriors to 88 points. And that was as impressive a feat as really any. They give Steph a lot of trouble. Their defensive schemes, you know that.
Marcus Smart is pesky.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Marcus Smart is so good at basketball.
And they play with a lot of heart.
He is the perfect 6th-7th man. Like, you're not going to rely on him to be great, but he has really done a lot of good for that Celtics team and provides a lot of their energy. There's only so much you can do. You really have to – they have so many picks coming in the future. Like, there's potential to have 4 first-round picks.
I don't want to talk about that. No more future. Forget the Celtics. Let's move on.
Let's leave the future for the future and go to break. And when we come back, we will talk about the past, specifically nostalgic memories about playing sports when we were kids.
Yes.
And we'll also talk about the MLB because that's happening right now. So we'll be right back.
Bring it. What?
On your mark, ready, set, let's go. Dance floor, bro. And thank you, Will Smith, for bringing us back into this wonderful segment full of nostalgia and sports memories. As we found out this week, Will Smith's going to be performing in the World Cup anthem this year, which is pretty awesome. And also awesome, remembering childhood sports things. So Ryan found a tweet this week that was really the start of all of this idea.
So Patrick Netherton, who I don't really know who that is, he tweeted, quote this tweet with your least impressive athletic feat that you're most unreasonably proud of. And I got a lot of those.
Yeah.
Mine, he said he had an unassisted triple play in T-ball.
That's pretty great.
I don't remember many of my T-ball memories. I just remember I was a stud.
Dude, I got out in T-ball once and it broke my brain. Imagine
a T-ball triple play being the kid fielding it and just chasing 3 kids around the field with the ball. Because how else does that happen?
I imagine when Greg was playing T-ball that he was like in bench warmers. He was probably about 9 feet taller than the rest of the kids and just said something that says, I am 12.
I keep saying this. I really wasn't. I was taller, but I was 5'8 starting high school. I grew 10 inches in high school. Wow. I came back junior year, and one kid just came back. He's like, Brzeski, what the fuck happened to you?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start with – should we start with some of the ones that were submitted online and then get to ours?
Yeah, and then let's go to ours.
All right, so here's some of the best ones that I have read. So this guy said, I scored half of my team's points at a sixth-grade basketball game. We lost 40-4. This guy – says he holds the Connecticut high school record for most minutes played in a game after fouling out. Coach and the refs got into it after my 5th foul, and no one noticed after 3 minutes in a span where I had two buckets when he came back into the game after the 5th foul.
That's awesome.
That's pretty great.
That's amazing.
Someone said he led his high school team in interception return tackles.
Oh, my God.
So he, like, stopped the guy.
What a random stat.
He was the quarterback who threw all the interceptions and then was So there's some really great ones. I mean, I don't know. I got a lot, I guess, because, you know, my athletic career kind of peaked at, like, 10 years old. I'd say. I think we won our softball league together, and I had a pretty nice diving stop to end the game once. That was pretty nice. But I think my top one is I went to summer camp for years, and it was like 95% Jewish kids, so you know, not the most athletic group of the bunch there. And I am in the Sunday Night Football Hall of Fame on a plaque. Your boy chilling right there had 3 touchdowns in a game once. It was epic.
Ooh, dang.
Very exciting. Yes. I used to put on shows, let me tell you, back in the day. Yeah, it was pretty good stuff.
back in the day.
Shout out Camp Timberridge in Highview, West Virginia. I will be back one of these days to grace your football field.
A legend returns.
Yes.
Just start playing the heroes of the game, like music underneath it.
Heroes of the game.
That's mine, which I actually did the quote tweet thing. So in baseball growing up, I never pitched. It was the one thing I didn't do. I just didn't want to. I never learned how to. I just let the other kids do it. And I hit and played like second base and outfield. But my last summer ever, I got a chance to pitch one inning. I got to start the game playing summer ball in high school. My one inning pitched, walk, hit by pitch, where I tried to throw a curveball but didn't know how. Strikeout, miracle. Walk, bases loaded, picked the guy off of third because I didn't know why righties never do that with the bases loaded.
It is so kind of weird.
After the third walk, the infield came in and was like, Joe, why are you so bad at pitching? And I was like, it's okay. Dave, I'm going to throw the first ball to you on third, and we're going to pick him off. Move. And then I did. And the kid was like, arms up, like, what just happened? And it was great. Then walked the next guy again, and then the guy lined out to someone in the infield to end the inning, and I never pitched again because that was like the hardest contact, and I was like, I can't believe that landed in a glove.
If you would have picked the guy off and then struck out the last guy, would you have struck out the side technically?
No, because they're still not recorded. Because
I guess the pickoff is not.
Yeah.
But
I have a career no-hitter going, so.
Yeah.
That's good right there.
There you go. Did you see, speaking of this is a technicality, Odubel Herrera for the Phillies, he was on a 45-game on-base streak, which I guess is something we keep track of. And the on-base streak ended with him striking out, but the ball getting past the catcher, and he still made it to first base.
And right, so that's a reached on error, which doesn't count as being on base.
That's okay. BS is what that is.
On base streak is like OBP, hit by pitch, walk.
Oh, he made it on base. Give me a break.
So mine comes from the basketball court. I do have a baseball one. I'm going to go with my basketball one.
You're talking a game.
No, I did an intramurals at Elon, and that was awesome because there's one game where I think it was like our comm school. Like I had a few dunks in games in intramurals. But I'm 6'7", just for reference.
That must have felt awesome.
So it's not like
I've dunked on an 8-foot hoop.
We had this team that was talking so much trash to us. And they were just like, yo, dude, no hops, no hops. Yo, look at this guy. He can't even get out there and dunk. Like, just, you know, nonsense. Really terrible trash talk. Not like anybody's good. And, like, we're on a fast break, and I'm running down the wing, and I get a feed from – Rosenbaum, maybe. I can't remember exactly who it was who dished it, but maybe Tom Waterman.
Wow. Yeah, maybe shout out to him. He's
right now with his family being adult. And I throw it down 2 hands, like real nice and clean, like, you know, and I kind of just look towards the guys and I'm just like, And they just go, yo, but that guy who passed it to him can't dunk.
What?
Tom couldn't dunk, but Tom, it's all good. Tom laughed. He enjoyed that. But that's not what I'm talking about. So when I was
that was a great one.
Wait, who was the one in that video one-on-one who caught the volleyball? Was it you or Tom?
Tom
did. Okay. But it was the two of you.
That would have been Tom's totally worth being proud of.
Yes.
Moment. Yeah, I was doing color on that, and that we're covering a volleyball match. And literally, I watched this ball deflect off somebody's arms during, like, hitting lines. And it is in slow motion moving directly towards Tom's cranium.
Beautiful.
And we are on camera talking. And you just see me in this 2 shot, like, ugh, like eyes peering up, looking back at him. Eyes peering up, being like, how do I do this? What do I do? And in the smoothest of manners, Tom just, like, glides it and catches it and, like, throws it off the side and, like, turns, continuing his sentence.
He didn't miss a beat. It was amazing.
It was me instantly laughing.
It was where amazing happens, right? Wasn't that?
Yeah, that was our tagline for that commercial. That
was a great commercial. God, I missed 101. So
anyway, that story you were going
to
tell.
So my story dates back to when I was younger and I couldn't dunk in a basketball court and when I could barely see time in a basketball game. So I'm playing for my town team, Tinton Falls, and we were okay in like this like Monmouth Ocean County, you know, town by town league of like just whatever was set up, like kids from whatever city you're in or spot you were in. We're playing Little Silver, who was the worst team in the league.
And it's funny how you remember like all these details from these games. Like I do the same thing with like these.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the way it works.
Yeah,
that's how it works in our brain. It all means more to us. So like
I tore the Raiders up for 3 touchdowns. Continue.
I saw such little time that I played the fifth quarter. Did you guys have fifth quarters in your league?
Quarter? What? No.
No. Wait,
is that the original participation trophy?
Yeah, basically, man. It was 5 minutes. It was 5 minutes of running clock so the kids at the end of the bench could actually see time on the court.
Get out.
I'm sorry. That's a great idea.
It was cool, man. It started at the beginning of the game, and like it was like let's just get this out of the way so these kids could actually like.
Wait, so the fifth quarter was before the first quarter?
Yeah, so they played the fifth quarter, and then they'd start the first quarter.
I can't catch on.
Dang, this is no. We absolutely knew. Like we're just like all right, here we go. Warm
this
up.
Is so great.
Sit my ass down the rest of this time. But, like, the team was so bad on Little Silver that I got to play a lot during the game. So I scored 6 points in the fifth quarter, and then I scored 14 points in the real game. So technically, like, my dad would always tell me, you scored 20 points! I'm like, Dad, shut up. No, I didn't. No, I didn't at all.
We all know those other points didn't count.
They literally would keep – they would say, like, my dad's thing if we ever lost. Like, well, you guys won the fifth quarter. I'm like, shut up.
That's funny.
I was just like, can I just go have low confidence somewhere else about myself?
So what's your career high in a basketball game?
The 14 points would have been my career high through it all.
Four, Joe?
Yeah. I only ever scored like 8 baskets ever. Because I was the kid that got the ball, wide open shot, pass it to someone for a layup.
I would pass.
I was like 4'8" for a long time. I didn't grow until high school, and I didn't grow much in high school.
Yeah. I'm the same way. I didn't break 5 feet till 8th grade. I don't think it was a short stint. I put up 16 in a rivalry game.
Nice, growing
up. That's pretty awesome.
4 3-pointers, and we only had 5 people on the team that day that showed up. So it was like, yeah,
you were gassed. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I was in much better shape when I was like 12.
Basketball growing up was the one that I wasn't in. Like I was 3 and D minus the 3. I really didn't have much going on.
I claim to be 3 and D, but I was definitely more about just playing defense.
Now I'm 3 and D. Like I'm totally fine with owning up to that now. But back then I played soccer. Like that was my good sport as a kid other than baseball.
It's funny that growing like now that like I'm older and become more, you know, sophisticated with my sports knowledge or whatever, that like there's multiple roles that need to be played on the basketball court.
Mm-hmm. So
the defensive guy, I could have been Tony Allen. You know, I could have been
I could have been
doing big
things.
Like I didn't realize that Wes Welker was a thing until way too late. I could have been an incredible growing up if I was just ready to take about 10 concussions. I mean I was all ready for it.
See, my brother was supposed to be a football player. I know that for a fact. But he was always so small that he couldn't play with, like, his own age group. And, like, he tried playing with, like, his own age because, you know, they had the weight restrictions and stuff like that. He like, literally showed up to, like, one practice, got him, like, a helmet. And they're just like, dude, we in our good consciousness, we can't let you on the field. So, like, that was his sport that I know he was going to be great at. Though he also won, like – we joked about this a couple weeks ago because we remember this too. My brother won back-to-back MVP awards at the baseball camp we'd always go to. And he was like as good a youth baseball player as like ever. And then like sixth grade hit and he's just like, this sport sucks. And like he just stopped crying or caring a baseball.
Wow.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know. It's always so – but we just idolize those moments because they mean so much to us. You know, like I'm sure these pro athletes – even it means a lot to them because shout out to sports. Sports are the best.
But can you imagine? I mean, we'll move on after this. But can you imagine like the stories that professional athletes have in high school? Like, are there any guys that like from
pure domination?
Are there any guys like from your high school or like from your youth? Like, I played literally baseball with Alex Wood. I know that's totally random, but like he wasn't even
that's awesome.
Like, can you imagine? Like, he must just made people look silly all the time when you're just younger. And like the guys who are your legends of high school, like, you know, they didn't even make it to the minor leagues for like three or 4 years. And they're like putting up like five home runs a game, like in high school. It's just, it's kind of, it's crazy.
The amount to which you think a pro athlete like succeeds. Like I went to like one of those kids on that Tin Falls team I was talking about went to go play college ball at Bucknell and then play professionally in Spain. And I remember watching him in a one-on-one meeting playing Butler in the NCAA tournament and like Ian Eagle's like, Joe Willman with the bucket! I'm like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
It's really cool to be able to see like those pets. But then you make it realize like these guys were like incredible athletes and succeed. And like a guy like Joel Embiid, who's playing basketball for like 5 years now, and he's already one of like the best players in the world.
No, my God, I can't even imagine what Joel Embiid used to
be. Yeah, what he was like as a kid. Unbelievable. Yeah, we only had one kid in my town that I remember that like has become anything. And he was 3 or 4 years younger than us and played all the way up to our baseball team. Wow, and he got drafted by the Yankees like 2 years ago.
That's
like a 20th round pick or something. But he's a catcher in the minors in the Yankees right now.
Yeah, there was one kid actually from our town. I think his name was, what was it, Steph Curry. Yeah, he turned to be okay.
Oh yeah,
he turned out to be.
Never mind. Right. That kid make it.
Yeah, he was okay.
All right, are you guys good on nostalgia? Can we move on to regular baseball or?
We don't even have to do baseball. I mean, we can do trivia. We can do baseball. I'm down for whatever we want to do. The Mets are.
We've been going pretty strong now. It's almost been an hour, so I think actually it might be a good time to jump to trivia and save baseball for any of the other 5 months that it's still on.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not going away for a while.
Just a quick note, just because it would be fun to talk some like 2 seconds of baseball here. This Braves team, I really need to guess start knowing some of the players on this team.
Yeah, well, you're gonna have to learn all of them because they're all new.
They're all new. When I did that radio show, some guy called up and he's just like, if I like my boss wanted to do this thing where he was like, dude, $2 billion, would you spend it on? He's like, I'd buy the Braves and I'd stop trading away all the good players. And he's like, no, good news is that all your players now are 20 years old and they're all gonna be here for like the next future paying for like nothing. Well,
you know what's scary is that the Braves have like $50 million coming off their books this offseason.
Yeah.
And like they're gonna go hard for Bryce Harper.
Yeah. So, I mean, would if I were them.
They're gonna start torturing me like they did my childhood.
You look great in the Braves uniform. Shit.
Yes, shit is right.
Well, I don't want him on the Yankees. I want Machado. Even though I don't know. Dude, Gleyber Torres, like honestly,
I'd be very excited. You know, as much as it kills me to say this, the Yankees are pretty exciting with all that young.
Very exciting.
I wish the Mets had some of that.
We're still all young, man. Like Didi's cooled off a ton, which kind of sucks because my fantasy team is tanking. We've lost our last 3 games.
That's rough. I have 6 people on the DL, so let's not.
I have a bunch on the DL too.
Yeah,
but I have Machado. Gotta love that.
Yeah,
dude, he's so good. Oh my God.
Manny. All right.
It's been a fun baseball season. Yeah. Gentlemen, let's jump right into trivia here. And one thing that I really wish we could have done when we had a show was something towards the draft lottery, because I've always been a big fan of it. And as a Knicks fan, it's always broken my heart. So I don't know. It's this very Stockholm syndrome-y type of relationship I have with these ping pong balls. But what I want to do is take a look at not just the draft lottery, but the team still playing in the playoffs right now. So what we're going to do, it's a game of high-low right here. It's like your card game.
But, okay, I like this.
We're going to take it as to where some of these players have been drafted. So Here's how it's going to work. You guys get 10 points if you're on the right side of this pick, or you get 20 points if you properly guess where the pick has been. Exactly.
Like the number?
Yeah, so I'm going to give you a number as to which side a guy's been drafted at. So, for example, I'm going to just take one that is pretty much off the board. Kevin Durant, I'm going to say, was he the number 4 pick? And you guys would guess.
Wait, under. Is lower, like literally the number?
Lower would be 1, higher would be.
Okay, like, so like actual 14. Numbers, not.
Yeah. So higher would be 14, because we're talking lottery picks. This is first 1 to 14.
Lower, number 2.
Yeah, so you would say your number and what lower, and you would each have gotten 20 points for guessing that he was the number 2.
Well, we'll go one at a time, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Guess
we'll go one at a time for it all, and you give me your answer either. Or should we even just swing it where I have enough options where I can give you guys different picks for each one?
Yeah, give us different picks every time.
All right, we'll give you different picks for each one. All right, so then, Joe, we're going to start with you because it's a little too close to the vest. Let's start with the Golden State Warriors. And Ryan Ballack knows way too much about this guy, as proved by his just name drop there. Stephen Curry, was he higher or lower than the 8th pick in the 2008 draft?
He was lower. He was 7.
That is correct. Joe with 20 points.
I remember that vividly.
Who was number 8?
That's one of the few drafts because it was the Knicks that drafted the next one. And he was
Jordan Hill.
Yeah.
Also, just before we give the standings update, and we will give some of these to Jake as well, too, and we will respond accordingly about where he goes in text message form.
Please,
Jake in third place with 70, Ryan with 170 in second, Joe now with 290 off that 20-pointer in first place. So, Ballack, we then go to you. Andre Iguodala was selected with the 7th pick in the 2004 draft, higher or lower?
I'll go higher.
What's your pick?
I don't know. I don't remember. The 76ers, right, were the team, I guess. I'd say the 10th pick.
You get the 10 points because it was higher. He was the 9th pick in the 2004 draft.
All right, I'll take it.
10 for Ballack there. So
how many teams has he been on? He's been on
the Sixers, the Nuggets. He was in the Andrew Bynum deal.
Right.
Oh, boy. And then he went to the Warriors after that. Okay. All right, so let's go one more Warrior here. This is going to be a tricky one here for Joe. Sean Livingston. The 3rd pick in the 2004 NBA draft.
I'm going to say higher in the 5th.
It is higher, and it's the 4th.
Oh,
the 4th. Wow. But so far, you guys have gotten all of these right there. Yeah, Sean Livingston, the 4th pick, instead of going to Duke, came right out of high school.
Who did he go to? Did he go to the Bobcats?
Went to the Clippers.
Clippers. He's been on a lot of teams.
He messed up his knee a ton. All right, yeah. So let's go one more Warrior here to even this out. We're giving 2 and 2 apiece. Ballack, Klay Thompson was the 13th pick in the 2011 draft. Higher or lower?
Lower.
What's your number?
Like 11.
20 points for Ballack.
Right, I was there. Also going to say 11. Nice job.
11th pick. Picked after Jimmer Fredette, by the way. At
yeah, I know all these. I knew where all these guys went to college. San Diego State, right? Was that where?
That was Kawhi. He went to Washington Kawhi. State.
Oh, Washington State.
Who was also in that 2011 draft there.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so let's move now on to the Houston Rockets. They have 5 lottery picks on their roster. And
didn't they trade George Hill for Kawhi Leonard or something like
yes,
that?
Yes, they did. The Spurs and the Pacers. Joe and I were at that draft. And while
yes,
that was
we were.
You can vouch for, I'm like, does anybody else know what's going on right here? I'm so upset. I'm like, they're going to let this happen?
Oh,
I was totally giving up on the Spurs. I was really upset that him going through that.
We had some great times at the NBA draft for no reason. That was so much fun. Like getting invited to the Kyrie Irving after party.
I want to go to a draft one.
That ended up being nothing, but we still ended up on a rooftop.
We ended up on the rooftop of a purple hotel, so it was kind of cool.
All right, so Joe, we go to you. We know the stars of this Rockets team.
Yeah.
Let's look at some of the supporting cast here. Eric Gordon was the 4th pick in the 2008 draft. Higher or lower?
Oh, gosh.
We're getting a little tougher as they're going.
Yeah, a little bit. Eric Gordon. You said the 4th?
I said he was the 4th pick. Is he higher or lower?
I'm going to say he was higher, and it was the 7th pick.
20 points for Joe DiRienzo pulling what? It out of whatever.
That's incredible.
He got
that's
that
absurd.
But he just called it.
Wow. All right,
Ballack, we can share in the sympathies of this pick a little bit because this was originally the New York Knicks pick that was traded for Antonio McDyess. And, of course, I'm talking about Nene in the 2002 NBA draft.
Wait. What year was that?
The 2002 NBA draft. Nene was the 12th pick, higher or lower.
Nene's been in the league for 16 years?
Nene's been that long, yeah.
Wow.
Knicks pick originally, traded for Antonio McDyess.
And he was on the Nuggets?
Nuggets, and then the Wizards, and now he's with the Rockets.
Wow, I cannot believe he's been in the league for 16 years.
That's unbelievable.
Higher or lower than 12th? What's the call here?
If you said it was for Antonio McDyess, I bet it was the Knicks. It must have been lower.
what pick?
8.
Ooh, 10 points. It is lower, but it was 7th.
That's close. I'm impressed with us.
This is really good right now.
We get to miss one.
I'm liking this a lot. All right, Joe. let's keep with your namesake here. Joe Johnson, midseason signee of the Rockets.
I could not believe Joe Johnson came off the bench the other night. I was like, what? He's still in the NBA? Are you kidding me?
Joe Johnson was the 11th pick in the 2001 NBA draft, higher or lower.
Ooh. I'm going to reveal something to you guys. I have no idea where Joe Johnson went to college. I have no recollection of that draft because I was 9. You said 11?
11. Higher or lower?
Lower. He was 9.
Speaking of 9.
Lower, he was 10. Oh. 10 points with it all. Again,
I'll take 10 points for...
You guys are answering all of these, though. This is pretty impressive right now. No one has gotten a higher or lower wrong. I'm trying to switch it up. I'm trying to get a little tougher here, so we're going
to
see.
Where'd you say Joe Johnson went to college?
Arkansas.
Okay.
Arkansas? Man. Yep. You could have given me 50 guesses, and I wouldn't have guessed.
Razorback. Right.
Is he the only good player to ever come from? There's one other, right?
Corliss Williamson also came from Arkansas.
Who?
Portis. Corliss Williamson.
Bobby Portis.
Yeah. He's not so great.
Corliss Williamson, '94, the Razorbacks, like, I think won the title, if I remember.
I think you might be right.
All right, we're going to jump over because James Harden, Chris Paul, those are too easy right there. Let's jump straight to the Cavs. And
LeBron James.
LeBron higher or lower than one. Kevin Love, who you spoke a little down on there earlier, Balak.
Sorry.
Was he higher or lower than the third pick in the 2008 NBA draft?
Lower. Higher. And he was number 4.
It is lower, but it was number 5. So
it was higher.
You mean higher?
Yeah. Higher, excuse me, yeah, I apologize.
Did he play college ball with Westbrook? Did that happen? Was that a thing?
Yes, they were on the same team for 1 year there.
And did they make
it? He was one and done.
Were they the Final Four team?
Yes. Jordan Farmar, though, was like the best player on that team in college.
Shut up.
All I remember about Kevin Love at UCLA was that full court pass, out of bounds pass.
And he was a little chubby.
He was a little big.
They put that Florida team, right?
That's 9.
Yeah.
They put this Florida team, so they went back to back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all right, Joe, we now jump over to you. I already mentioned where Tristan Thompson was drafted in this draft, so I'm not going to see how your memory skills are. Instead, I'm going to ask you, was Jeff Green higher or lower than the 7th pick in 2007?
Higher. He was 10.
For the first time, we have a wrong answer. 5th pick in the 2007 NBA draft.
I remember liking Jeff Green out of college, too. I just had no idea if he was in.
Yeah, entirely. He was great.
He was a Big East guy, right?
Big East, Georgetown. He beat your Tar Heels in that Elite Eight matchup, the Final Four. And he was the Celtics pick traded for Ray Allen. So Jeff Green and Kevin Durant, the last two Seattle Supersonics left in the NBA now that Collison has retired.
Nice.
That's a fun fact for you.
Ray Collison.
We are now moving on to the Boston Celtics, who have 8 lottery players on their team. So we're going 2 rounds here. Last two, we got to finish. So we're going to go 5 more players of these 8 who are on here. And Balak, we are going to start with Marcus Morris.
Oh, what they're going to do? That was in that Tristan Thompson draft.
11th pick in the 11th draft, higher or lower?
Ooh, I'm going to go lower, and I'm going to say he went 9th.
It is higher. He went 14.
Man, we both got one wrong.
Back-to-back wrong answer.
When did his brother go?
He went 15, the next pick.
Oh, damn. I thought one of them went a little higher and the other one a little lower.
No joke. They were picked back-to-back by the Rockets and the Suns.
And then they both got traded to the Suns. Who was the one that complained about wanting to be on his brother's team?
Markeith.
Who cares? They're both the same.
Markeith is the older one. So
I once heard a story where the two of them fought, 20 players on the Kansas football team who just kicked all their asses around.
Just the two of them?
Yeah.
But I'm still floored by the fact they have matching identical tattoos. Every tattoo that they have.
That's a bit much.
That's a little much.
It's too weird. I don't like it.
They must have subbed out for each other in school or something like that. And
I never understand the concept of me hey, can you draw my body for the rest of my life as my body?
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Yeah. So, you got that one wrong.
All right, so we both missed that round.
Yes, we both missed the whole round.
So last two rounds here. Joe, let's jump over. We mentioned that Florida team a moment ago. So let's talk about their own. Al Horford, who was the 5th pick in 2007, higher or lower?
Hmm. By the Hawks.
By the Hawks.
Yeah, right. By the Hawks. I remember that. That was his whole career.
Well, not anymore.
Well, the whole start of his career. I remember when I think Al Horford, I still think Hawks, even though.
Right.
I am going to say lower and third.
20 points for Joe right there. Calling it right there. The pick after Kevin Durant, who was picked after Greg Oden. Oh, boy. That's two tough misses right there when you think about Al Horford.
Did Greg Oden start more games in that 1 year at Ohio State than he did his entire career?
Maybe. Wow. That's a great stat if it's true.
If Greg Oden was in the 2017 NBA draft instead of the 2007 NBA draft, I think a lot of his health issues are cured a lot better. Like, his legs were different sizes. Like, that's just stuff that we discover better now, you know?
Yeah, even 10 years later.
Exactly. It's crazy how far medicine has gone through it all. And so, look, you guys have proven to be pretty smart through all of this. So
somehow.
Ask you about Marcus Smart here, Ryan Ballack.
Oh!
Marcus Smart, the fourth pick in the 2014 NBA draft, higher or lower?
Higher, and he was number six.
Correct, 20 points. Nailing it.
That's called confidence. That's called confidence.
That was impressive.
Out of Texas. Or no, out of Oklahoma State.
Oklahoma State. There
we
go.
He was a crazy person. Remember, he got into like a fight with a dude.
He still is. Off. He's just a controlled crazy person.
But remember, didn't he get in a fight with like some fan?
Yeah, fan flipped him off.
Fan flipped him off. That's what
I was pushing him. All right, last two here.
I was hoping you were going to ask me Marcus Smart when you said Marcus Morris, and I'm like, yes.
All right. Gone, not forgotten from this team, and going to be a problem on this next year considering Marcus Morris and like Semi Ojeleye are getting his minutes right now. Joe, Gordon Hayward.
I was really hoping.
5 minutes this season. Was he the 11th pick in the 2010 NBA draft, higher or lower?
I was really hoping you give me Gordon Hayward because he's one of the like few left that I was like, okay. Yes, Gordon Hayward, a little. You said, what number did you say?
I said 11, higher or lower.
Lower.
And what number?
Ooh. I don't know about that one, Joe. I think it might be higher.
Eight.
It is lower. It is nine.
Oh.
Nine touch as. But that's another 10. Joe with only one missed answer on this board. I'll tabulate the points right after this.
You know, out of all the guys that were in that 2010 National, I'm a big Duke fan if you people don't know, but out of all the guys in that Duke, in that National Championship game, Gordon Hayward is by far the best NBA player.
Yeah.
The best of them all. I mean, who's Duke's best player from that team in the NBA? Colin Smith was a first-round pick, but he's on a coaching staff at Duke now.
Yeah, and then they had John Shire. I mean, Kyle Singler is probably...
That was a college Duke team.
Yeah. Brian Zubek. Actually, Lance Thomas might be the best.
Lance Thomas is the best one.
Which is not...
probably the worst one on the team at the time.
Yeah. How he's made it work, I don't know.
It's wild.
All right, so your last answer here, Ballack.
And we know Brian Zubek, of course, has the cream puff industry.
I'm keeping it with my namesake here. Greg Monroe, newly signed to the Celtics this year. Ryan Ballack, was he the 10th pick in the 2010 draft? Keeping that same draft, higher or lower? So that would have been the pick after Gordon Hayward.
I think he went a few picks before Gordon Hayward, maybe. I don't even remember where he played college. So I'll go after that. So I'll say higher and 13th.
You got to trust your instincts, man. He was the 7th pick in that draft.
I said it out loud. Oh.
Two picks before Gordon Hayward, and that 10th pick was actually Paul George there.
Wow, that's a good little group there.
The 2010 draft is amazing. John Wall, Boogie Cousins, Hayward, Paul George. But then you have like guys like, you know, Derek Favors, who's a serviceable pro. Evan Turner went two.
Derek Favors went high.
Derek Favors went three to the Nets. Because that was the year I went all in when I was still a New Jersey Nets fan. And I wanted John Wall.
I remember that.
He ended up with the third pick. It was crazy. All right, so let's count these real quick. Joe, with 20, 30, 50, 60, wrong answer.
Hey, man.
I said 60, right? So 80?
Yeah.
90. Joe with 90 points to add on to his 270, so he's at 360 there.
Took me down on this one.
Ballack, you got 20, 30, 40,
50, 70, 70 points. So you just missed one more of there, but that's another 70. So you got 240, and we'll check and see with Jake on some of these. I'll give Jake some of the same answers since there's only a few left over. Like guys I didn't mention, Durant went second in 07, Chris Paul fourth in 05, James Harden third in 09, LeBron number one.
Can't give Jake LeBron.
Yeah, I'm not going to give Jake LeBron. And
give him Kyle Korver.
Kyle Korver is a second-round pick. That one I can't do. All lottery. Tristan Thompson, fourth in 2011. Irving, 1-11. Jaylen Brown, third in 16. Jason Tatum, third in 2017.
Ben, you also can't give him Celtics.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and hesitate on some Celtics there. Like, I'll give him, like, the Monroe, you know, guys like that. Like, not guys the Celtics
pick. Yeah.
You know, stuff like that.
He's like not played a minute in the playoffs, has he?
No, not much. They thought he was going to be a little better because he was good.
He had that stretch.
They put that Georgetown, by the way.
Started. It was so – yeah, he's another Georgetown guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's where he went to school. I
have an uncanny memory of knowing like where every player –
where did Paul George go when you mentioned that at number
10? Fresno State.
Damn, that's random.
Yeah,
that's
very random. Random,
and that's impressive. Cool.
That was a random episode. That was a lot of fun.
Thank you all so much for sticking around for that 16-minute trivia segment to end up.
Where, loop the music, Malik. Loop the music.
Where Greg talked and talked and talked, and somehow we answered most of them.
I was pretty
impressed with us because I can honestly say I knew two of those that I guessed, and I somehow got 90 points out of it. So that'll do it for episode 8 of the 14th inning stretch. We will be back before the Belmont. Because I want to make Belmont picks, and I want to hear
Hoss, what Hoss, 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 Hoss.
Gronkowski's my pick.
So for Greg and Ryan, I'm Joe. See you all next time.
That's all, folks.